All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're back to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, last time that we were together, Joseph is in prison. He has just interpreted the dreams of the chief baker and the chief butler. They were cellmates of Joseph, and you remember Joseph, he's in prison. He hasn't done anything wrong, but that's where he is at. The interpretation of the dream for the butler was a good interpretation. It went well for him in 3 days. If you read the scriptures, it says that the Lord is going to lift up your head. Well, there's a reason why the butler got the news before the baker. Because when the baker is told the Lord's going to lift up your head, that meant he's going to be in a noose and his life was coming to an end. The butler, his head was going to be lifted up in an exalted sort of a way, and he is going to get restored back to duty. Joseph had one request and one request only of him. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 40. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that should put me into the dungeon. Verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. The butler forgot Joseph. Nice guy, huh? And Joseph's attitude through it all was excellent. You talk about an attitude that was superb through it all. Joseph is the poster child of what it means to keep our attitudes right. There isn't anything in the story of Joseph's life from start to finish where Joseph shows anger, shows bitterness, shows a spirit of vengeance or anything like that. He's not spiteful. He's got a right attitude through all of this. Now, this series that we are in is called Truths That Transfer. And the whole idea is that these truths found in Genesis have to transfer into our 21st century lives. And every lesson that we have seen is practical. It is usable. It is something that we can plug into our life, and we must. And the scripture gives us the examples of what it looks like and how to do it. So far, we've had 42 lessons. Tonight's lessons are going to be rather meddlesome. If they haven't been already, they're going to be hard ones. Because number 43, this lesson is, be patient. You want me to go ahead and skip on to the next one? Yeah. Be patient. Genesis chapter 40, again, verse 23 says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgat him. Chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Be patient. A little boy was standing at the end of an escalator, just watching the escalator go round and round and round. The sales clerk lady comes over to him and says, son, are you lost? He says, no, ma'am. I'm just waiting on my chewing gum to come back. Now, that's patience. Are you a relatively patient person, or do you tend to be impatient? Don't say anything out loud. I don't want you to, this isn't true confessions or anything like that. But look at your patience level tonight, and probably an awful lot of us would have to say, I need to grow in my patience. I need to become a more patient individual. And you know what happens, don't you? As soon as you start praying and saying, okay, Lord, I know I need to be a more patient individual. Help me to be more patient. All your problems just disappear so you can get strong, right? Just the opposite. When you start praying for patience, the thing, the person, the situation that tries your patience the most is going to show up every single time. Waiting is hard. Joseph had spent much of his young adult life waiting, and he shows us how we're supposed to wait. Notice something, if you would. Jump ahead in this story to Genesis 41. Look at verse 46. In verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, how old was Joseph when he was put into prison? Or not put into prison, when Joseph was put into the pit and sold into slavery. How old was he? 17 years old, according to Genesis 37 and verse 2. Now, He's 30. 13 years have passed. That's a long time to wait. How easily would you and I have waited? Joseph was sold at 17. He's before the Pharaoh when he's 30. For 13 years, Joseph has waited for somebody to rescue him out of Egypt. And it hasn't happened. For at least two of those 13 years, Joseph has been in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And what Joseph doesn't know is that nobody's looking for him from his family. Why would they? Remember that the boys, they went back and they told Daddy, they says, hey, Joseph was attacked by this wild animal. Here's the blood-stained garments. This is all that's left of him. Just his coat of many colors that you gave to him. And look at this. Why didn't Dad say, why is that all that's left? That was the outside coat. That should have been eaten first. Why didn't you bring back a pair of his under tunic or something like that and say, this white cloth, this is all that's left? Instead, they brought the outside. Evidently, the wild beast didn't have a desire for fancy clothing and spit that out and just chewed the rest of him up. And this is all they bring back. Nobody's looking for him, and he doesn't even know that. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Here is a fantastic verse that we've got to take to heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, when? In due time. Here's what we need to do while we're waiting. All we need to do is stay humble. All we need to do is stay on our faces before God and say, Lord, help me to keep the right attitude. Help me not to be proud. Help me not to get arrogant. Help me not to get belligerent. Help me not to get angry. Help me, Lord, not to get impatient with you and say, come on, God, I've been praying for how long? Why aren't you answering my prayers? If we are doing that, then we are not humbling ourselves. And the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due season. Okay? When is due season? When is due time? God's time. There is nothing there that's telling us the when. We have to wait, don't we? Again, I ask, how good are we at waiting? Have you ever, and I've said this before, if the Lord would give me a yes on a prayer request, I like yeses. At least if he gave me a solid no, at least I know what the answer is. But when God says wait, and there's no time frame, that's hard. Do you find it difficult to wait when the Lord doesn't give you a specific yes or no? A lot of times what we do when God doesn't give us a specific yes or no, we start getting impatient with him and decide to take matters into our own hands, and then we jump. When you don't know what to do anything. Don't jump. Wait until you have absolutely clear, crystal clear direction from the Lord so that you know which direction to go. If God has you or I in a humble place at the present time, submit to his plan. Wait for his exaltation to come in due season. And that due season, quite honestly, may never come. God may, this side of eternity, that due season may never come. There is no promise that he will always exalt us to a grander and a higher place. Some may go through their entire lives in a very humble means and a humble position. But this isn't the end. This isn't rewards day. Everything that we get this side of eternity, when we die, we leave it behind. It's burned up. It's gone. It is the treasures that are laid up in heaven that last. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're looking forward to. And certainly in glory, there is going to come that exaltation. Culture tells us, promote yourself. Culture tells us, if you want to get ahead, You have to market yourself. You have to know what you're worth. Why should we hire you? What assets do you bring to this corporation? How much better off would we be because of you? And they want us to promote ourselves. That goes contrary to what the Scripture teaches. The Bible teaches, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. The Bible teaches God does promoting, not man. Man only thinks he did it. God does the promoting. God does the exalting. And that is so hard to wait on the Lord to do that. Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37, 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee and to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Proverbs 20, 22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, he shall save thee. Now, before we add another lesson, and the next lesson goes along with be patient, let's go back to Genesis chapter 41, and let's look at this bizarre dream that Pharaoh has had. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you've heard the story, you know the dream, you know the significance of the dream. But in verse 2, the Bible says of chapter 41, behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. And you think you've had some weird dreams. I mean, this is a bizarre dream, isn't it? The 44th lesson goes right in with be patient. Lesson 44 is this: good will be rewarded in God's time. Be patient. Good will be rewarded in God's time. Genesis 41, verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dreams he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Personally, I don't believe that the butler was maliciously forgetful. I don't think that he exited that prison thinking, I ain't going to tell the Pharaoh anything. I don't think that happened at all. In the excitement of getting released, reuniting with his family, and getting back to work, he simply forgot. Do you ever suffer from forgetfulness? Somebody comes up and says, would you pray for me this week about, they lay out a problem. You say, sure, I'll be glad to pray for you. And then we forgot. And we never once prayed for them. And then the next time we see them, they come up and they go, thank you so much for praying. Oh, let me tell you what the Lord did. And you're just kind of standing there. It's like, okay, should I tell them? Nope, I didn't pray for you. I forgot. Or should you just let them keep talking? You know, you ever go through that battle? And you're embarrassed and ashamed. And you're, when they walk away, you think inside, I'm not ever going to do that again. And yeah, we do. We forget. Can you help me with this? And you say, absolutely. Tell me when and where. And we forget. Can you tell the Pharaoh that I have been imprisoned but didn't do anything wrong? You can count on me. And he gets released, and he promptly forgets. Listen, we all have brain fade, and the older you get, the worse it gets. Amen? Okay, some of you are acknowledging your order. Some of you are sitting here saying, well, no. Well, that's just because you're too stinking young. Don't worry, it will get worse. We promise you. I tell you what, I put everything in my calendar. The only way I'm going to forget something is if I didn't put it in my calendar or if Google dies. But I set it up with reminders, and I am so... I will set up a 10-minute reminder, an hour, a day, 2 days, a week reminder so I don't forget it, something, because it scares me to death that I will forget something. My heart sinks, ladies of the Ladies Missionary Circle, when I come by here on the Tuesday that you have your meeting and I see the parking lot full of cars. Well, I'm not in Ladies Missionary Circle, so it doesn't pertain to me, but I see all the cars. And I instantly feel my heart sink. What did I forget? And then it's like, oh, that's Ladies Missionary Circle. Phew. Every month I will panic. I really do. I'm not kidding you. I forget that y'all are up here and there's all these cars. And oh, that's an awful feeling. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And look at verse 10. Though we are very forgetful individuals, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God never forgets, and good will be rewarded eventually. But we got to be patient to wait for it. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be patient. In his due season, we've got to wait for those rewards to come. William Cooper wrote the hymn, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. In our hymnals, I think it's the only hymn that we have that was written by him. And he was an absolute prolific hymn writer. The very last hymn that he wrote is a song entitled, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. That has not made it into our hymnal, but it has made it into, I don't want to say pop culture, but into current contemporary settings. A number of artists have taken the lyrics of his poem and turned it into a song. And in fact, choir members, we can remember back in the 80s when we sang the song, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. It was a Southern gospel song. It had three or four different solo parts in it. Kind of a fun song. But I want you to listen to the lyrics of this. This is a powerful song, and I don't know why this didn't make it into hymnals. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in the dark and hidden mines with never failing skill, he fashions all his bright designs and works his sovereign will. O fearful saints, new courage take. The clouds that you now dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Now, I disagree with the last two lines there. I think that's... if I was going to do this hymn, we're going to rewrite those last two lines. If the Lord is frowning upon something that we did, there is not a hidden smile. And if a smile is warranted, it's not hiding behind a frown. That would be deceptive. So God is honest in his expressions. But you got to understand, the guy that wrote these hymns was often depressed, institutionalized, suicidal. This is a guy whose life really was a mental train wreck. He was in and out of institutions dealing with depression throughout all of his Christianity. So I kind of understand where he came from on that. The third verse says this, God's purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. The chorus says, "So God, we trust in you. O God, we trust in you. When tears are great and comforts few, we hope in mercies ever new. We trust in you." Aren't those some good words? Good lyrics that remind us that sometimes we're going to have to wait a while. Be patient. But God is going to reward good in due season as well. Now, let's go back to Genesis 41. Let's notice something else here that takes place. These lessons are connected in the life of Joseph because they're flowing along in his life. But we may look at this and say, well, these aren't connected. You know, be patient and he will reward good and God will reward good in his time. Those are connected. But this one that we see here, verse 14, after Joseph gets tapped here, it says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon." So they're trying to hurry this guy along, but the Bible says he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Next lesson is show respect. Show respect in life. Joseph prepares himself to give honor to the Pharaoh. He showers, shaves, brushes his teeth, gargles, combs his hair, splashes a little aftershave. I know, I'm adding to the scripture. I don't know what all his hygiene routine was that day. But he gets himself ready to come and stand before the Pharaoh, and he wants to do it in a respectful way, not a come-as-you-are kind of a way, because he recognizes who it is that he is standing before. Now again, this reflects Joseph's good attitude. Joseph could say, "That Pharaoh, I don't owe him anything. If anything, he owes me something. I don't owe him nothing. He's the one that I've been locked up in this prison for 2 years. I stink like a 2-year prison. Let him smell it for a while. I'll come and see him. He can smell my bad breath. He can look at my frazzled hair. He can look at my countenance and know that I'm not a happy man with him." That could have been Joseph's attitude. But Joseph showed respect. And Christians, you and I have got to be the epitome of respectful people to everybody we come in contact with in this world. Go to Romans chapter 13. And then I'm going to give you some illustrations that help to highlight this. Romans chapter 13. Look with me in verse 7. In Romans 13 and verse 7, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Does our world today need some lessons on respect and honor? Sure does. Let's talk about first responders and specifically the police. Police are not respected in our country. The media, entertainment, has taught society to distrust the police. Question their authority, know your rights, don't answer their questions. We are told all these different things that we are supposed to do if we are ever confronted by a police officer, if we are ever pulled over by a police officer. Say nothing, admit nothing, do the bare minimum of what they ask you to do. I'm sorry, that's not respectful. We've saw how the defund the police movement that took place in certain cities, we saw how that backfired, and now some of those cities are backpedaling, realizing they created an issue. Well, duh. They shouldn't have had to have had the issue created for them to realize this was a stupid idea. Amen. You respect the people that God has placed in authority. Amen. And listen, if you get pulled over, you start telling the truth and you start answering the questions. You say, "Why, my constitutional rights." Respect those people. Are there bad cops out there? Sure. Are there bad anybody else out there? Of every other profession? Yes. Okay. So we're not sticking our head in the sand and saying that there's no such thing as a bad cop or a bad anybody else in the particular profession. What we're saying is you respect them. You show them the respect. Teachers do not receive the respect and honor that they should. When I was a kid, you did not question the teacher. You did not challenge the teacher. You didn't call into question what they were teaching. That was a free trip to the principal's office, possibly the board. Could have landed you a few days out of school even, depending on what you did in school. Oh, that's not the case today. Today, the students, we're on a first name basis with the students. We are friends in the elementary. We got to call them friends. Hi, friends. That about makes me want to vomit. There's not one of my kids that gets on the bus and I say, well, hi, friend. Welcome to bus 4. No. Do I like my kids? Absolutely. Love them to death. There's not a single one that I can honestly say there is not a single kid on my bus that I wish wasn't on my bus. But we're not friends. We're not peers. We're not equals. Those people that are placed in the school system as a teacher or any of the other positions, you're in authority. And it should be, the person should conduct themselves in that manner. Today, if a kid is, they're taught to question in the classroom, question the teacher, why? That's not disrespectful, that's engaging. You know what? Let's just let all these wise kids that know all the answers, what's the point of having a teacher? Just let them work it out. And when they come up with the answers, go find out what they came up with. You know, that it's no wonder we've come to this. Evolution says, out of chaos came order. Well, if it worked for evolution, it ought to work in the classroom. Go ahead and allow the chaos, because order and wisdom and all this is going to come out of the chaos. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? God certainly doesn't get respect and honor. His name doesn't get respected and honored. I saw something this week, and it actually is from 2019. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I saw it for the very first time today. There's a pastor by the name of Ed Young. Ed Young is the son of Dr. Ed Young. Maybe you've heard the program, The Winning Walk. Dr. Ed Young, Daddy, does that and has his church that he just resigned from. He's like 85 years old and was still pastoring, but he's still doing the Winning Walk program. He has a son, and the son's name is Ed Young. On the video, Ed Young pastors Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas. It's a big mega church. In 2010, an expose was revealed that showed that he has at least $1 million salary. That was in 2010. And a housing allowance of $250,000. All right. In 2019, he did something beyond outlandish. On the stage for the new sermon series he was doing, they built a slow-moving roller coaster. And the roller coaster, there's like a stage in behind. So the roller coaster comes along the front, goes around the back, and here he comes out in an electric blue suit, in an electric blue car, on an electric blue track, riding this roller coaster. And comment, boy, this is really fun. This is the best roller coaster I've ridden as he's coming out. He is coming out to a song. The song is called Love Roller Coaster. It is done by the Ohio Players. Never even heard of these people. And it's featured on the album Honey. On the album cover is a naked woman who is side, bareback, naked. You can tell there's no clothing on, covering her breasts while she's got one of those honey sticks and drizzling honey into her mouth, and there's a big honey pot. The song lyrics, the phrase that repeats incessantly, your love is like a roller coaster, baby, baby, I want to ride. The song lyrics are about the roller coaster of romance for all ages and how there's the ups and the downs. The pastor of the church, to start off a new series, rides on a roller coaster to the backdrop song, Love Roller Coaster with those lyrics. And the crowd goes bananas cheering. Folks, that goes beyond disrespectful. That is blasphemous. That is blasphemous. If you sit here and go, well, I don't think that's that bad. Honey, you're in the wrong church. That is absolute garbage. If I'd seen something like that, I can't believe there wasn't a mass exodus of people walking out. But, you know, probably for years, they've been primed and pumped about all this is normal. And so it gets a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse, a little more edgy. Oh, but that's good. We need to use the unconventional methods to give the conventional method because that captures people's attention. But it blasphemes God. It blasphemes holiness. There's nothing about that that speaks holiness. It is disrespectful. God deserves the most honor, respect, awe that we can possibly muster. And I don't think a roller coaster bopping through to Love Roller Coaster shows respect to our Lord. Do you? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. There's got to be respect. One final thought tonight. Go back to Genesis 41. Verses 15 and 16. Genesis 41, verse 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. The 46th lesson is this, always give God the glory. Always give God the glory. There is nothing, folks, that we should ever take the credit for. Because without him, we can do nothing. You say, well, I've got the skills, the talents, the abilities, all that kind of stuff I've developed and I've worked on. But who gave that to you? Amen. You didn't give it to yourself. And you didn't give to yourself the ability to improve and to grow in that area or anything like that. It was always a gift from God. And he should get every bit of the glory. Are we quick to do that? Joseph was. And that's a lesson that we need to glean from this. Joseph could have used this to his advantage. He could have said, well, yeah, king, I do pretty good with this. Let's see what you got. And he could have used this to somehow advance himself. By the way, spoiler alert, he becomes like second in the kingdom. I don't think he could have done much better than that, could he? I mean, he wasn't going to become Pharaoh. That's given. But to become second in the nation, he could not have exalted himself to that position. Only God could have done that. You know why God did it? Because this man was right with God. This 30-year-old man was right with God, and he gave glory for everything that he was able to do. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. Glorify him. Our life, and it should be our purpose, our goal, our ambition every day when we get up. I want to glorify God in everything I say and do. I want God to get the glory. And I want to look for every opportunity that if somebody says something to me, I can turn that right back and give God the praise. I can use it as a witness, as a testimony to tell how good God is to have done these different things. Our life has got to be absorbed, consumed with that concept. That's a good lesson for us to learn. So some good practical lessons tonight. If you're of the impatient sort, ask God to lengthen it, knowing full well that when you do, we need to be more patient, but knowing that when you ask Him to do it, the trials are on. You know, it's going to get difficult, but it's going to grow that patience in you. Be patient to wait on God to reward your good and not promote yourself trying to get it for yourself. Let God do it. Be respectful and honoring of others and give God the glory in all situations. That's our job, Christians. That's something that we need to take from this tonight and apply to our lives. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something this evening that you do not have to be patient about. And that is getting your life right with Christ. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved tomorrow. Next month? Next week? When the Lord feels like it? No. Now. Instantly. So if you're of the impatient sort and you're here without Christ as Savior tonight, oh, this is a good start for you. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He paid the price and penalty of your sin in His blood at Calvary. We are getting ready to acknowledge that on the church calendar, so to speak, and to acknowledge also that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. And tonight He lives and has the power to give you a brand new life. Oh, don't be patient about calling on the Lord. Call on Him tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here this evening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you can mean it honestly, sincerely, from your heart to God's ear, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve salvation. I know I can't earn it. I can't work for it. But I believe Jesus Christ loves me and wants to save me tonight. So, Lord, tonight I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And I ask You tonight to be the Lord and Savior and Master of my life. You pray it tonight in Jesus' name. And let me ask you tonight, is there anyone here that says, I did that tonight? I've never done that before, but I did it tonight and I meant it. Would you just slip your hand up this evening? Then our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Jesus. And Lord, these lessons that we have to take home to deal with, we're just asking, Lord, that these lessons would work our hearts over this evening, that the changes would be made by You, that we would grow in our patience of just trusting You, waiting for You, Lord, not trying to make things happen, but just waiting on Your perfect will and timing. And as we do, we want to be respectful to those around us. We want to give honor and glory to Your name. And Lord, we know tonight that any Christian can give honor and glory to Your name when great things are happening. But when we're in that waiting, holding pattern, let our voices ring strongly for You, that we're still glorifying Your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.